formula, you know, at that particular time, Jerome, they put babies on pet milk. One can of pet milk, one can of water, and Karo syrup. And he didn't like it, and he didn't eat much, and he didn't sleep.
But I never had any trouble digesting milk, so I did okay.
Uh-huh. You were wonderful, absolutely wonderful baby. Well, you've always been, Jerome, just wonderful. You're a wonderful person.
Now, when I was born, did I come out of the womb wearing glasses, or did those come later?
They came later. That's a good one. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. Yeah, they came. You were very young, Jerome. Was it 2, 3, or 4? It was one of those.
I had the surgery at 18 months, and then
You had the glasses when you were 2, I'm sure. Or maybe they put you in glasses after your eyes got over the surgery.
I think that's how it went. So about 2, yeah.
But you know what? You didn't fight them. You didn't try to throw them away. You didn't try to pull them off. As you got just a little bit older, you know, when you'd want to take them off, I was showing you how to take them off because you'd want to take them by one leg and just pull them.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that the legs would break off. But Jerome, you was the most wonderful child.
Now, you did tell me a story once that at first I kept wanting to take them off and you couldn't get me to keep them on, but Daddy did.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, Buck did. He said, he told me to go do something. I forgot what he told me to go do. You go do this. Let me stay with Jerome. Maybe he said you go to your mother's for a while. I think that's what he said. Let Jerome stay with me. That's exactly what it was, Jerome. And it was warm weather, and me and Mother were sitting on the back door steps, and in just hardly no time, here come you and Buck, and he was holding you. You were little. He was holding you coming up here to Mother's, and you had your glasses on. And my heart just pounded. You was the cutest thing I ever saw. But yeah, he was the one. Buck had a lot of patience, Jerome.
Yeah. Yeah. And you dealt with me and Jeff all the time, and, you know, you were just at the end of your patience, and he, you know, he could be out of the house 9 hours a day, so he got a little break from the kids, so it was a little easier for him to have more patience with the kids.
He was really a good dad, Jerome. He, you know, he was just good.
Yeah.
You know, he helped, and when he would get mad at me, Jerome, you know what he would do? He'd bite his bottom lip. And I knew when I saw him bite his bottom lip, it was time for me to shut up and get out of the way. And I did. I didn't do no back talking after he bit that lip because I knew I was making him angry and he wasn't going to take it. So I need to say happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Jerome. Happy birthday to you. I love you so much.
That is sweet. Now, you've got until midnight to quit that.
We'll just stay on the phone, and if my throat gets sore, I'll record it and turn the recorder on and keep playing it.
You can sing different versions. You can sing a rock and roll birthday, then a country birthday, then an opera birthday.
You want to hear the opera? I know how to do that because we live next door to Gene and Jeanette. They were opera singers on Kirkwood. They used to just kill me doing that opera crap.
Well, I'm standing here reading the Rome News Tribune.
On the computer.
Yeah, I pulled it up and they're doing a
year in work to wrap up in February.
Yeah, Rome officials are negotiating for a right-of-way along Burnett Ferry to Shorter Avenue.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
So,
it also talks about some teachers who are having relations with their students.
In the paper?
Yeah.
I haven't read Connecticut. Oh, two former teachers in prison. Pope yeah. superintendent resigns in the scandal. Oh, my goodness.
They should be in jail.
Absolutely, Jerome. I mean, I just don't understand crap like that. Just don't understand. You know, they're supposed to be leaders and role models, and here they are having sex with a student. If I was those girls' parents, Jerome, I wouldn't wait for the police to get them. I'd have to go get my share of them.
Yeah, that's why it's good to leave it in the hands of the police, but yeah, and you know, every now and then you hear about a woman teacher who sleeps with a male student, and they put them in prison too, and I'm glad, because you shouldn't just laugh that off either. In either case, it's a person in a position of authority who are abusing that trust that's been placed in them.
And teachers are supposed to be role models, like parents are supposed, you know, we're your parents, but we're also supposed to be role models. Well, teachers are too, because, you know, you spend about 8 hours a day with teachers.
Yeah, they have, and they can discipline you, they can get you in trouble, so you have to do what they tell you to, and so that's a bad line to cross.
It absolutely is. Yeah, they need to. I'm glad they're doing that. Two former teachers in prison.
And, you know, get out. Let's see, one was 45 and one was 29, so get out and get some girls your own age, you know?
That's right. You know, there's plenty of girls out there that'll go to bed with almost anybody.
Yeah.
So why pick on, you know, kids, young people?
Yeah.
I think, Jerome, if I'd have had a daughter that a teacher had did that to, I think I would have wanted to kill him. I'm serious.
Yeah, you would want to, but that's why you have to let the police take charge of it, because you would be too emotional.
Yeah.
And then you would, you know, then what use would you be as a parent if you're locked up too?
That's the truth. That is the truth.
But yeah, I'm glad I live in a safe place where I don't live in that big city like Rome where y'all have all those goings on.
You know they go on there. It's just not in your newspaper.
It is. I don't. There is a little local newspaper for San Bruno. I don't read it much, but whenever I do, it's just like Rome. They'll talk. You know, there's always more crime going on than you realize.
Absolutely.
So what are you doing today?
Well, I really have no plans, but I'm sure that I'll get dressed. And I think I'm going to go walk at the mall today because it's cold outside.
That would be nice.
Yeah, and I'll probably stop back by Bill's. And May was kind of in a sad mood yesterday, so I may go down to see her later today.
Yeah, and if nothing else, just pick up the phone. And, you know, any time you call, I'm sure, is a little fun distraction from her trouble, so.
Yeah. You know, she and Bill had some serious problems. Now, you know, Bill's was a heart attack, and he's recovered from it. But, you know, I don't know, Jerome, but after you have one heart attack, you tell me this. Does that weaken your heart? Is it more easily to have another one after you have one?
Yeah, because what's going on to cause the heart attack usually are blockages, and unless you get those blockages cleared out, you got to watch it.
And you get those blockages from eating all the wrong things, is that right?
Yep.
Well, I don't think he's going to make... Now, you know, when it first happened, I think he would have made a lot of changes, but, you know, he sort of forgets about it now and kind of eats what he wants to, and he doesn't walk. If he would just walk some every day, that would help.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But anyway, you can't make And if you talk to them very much, they don't want you to come around because you're nagging them, they think.
Yeah. No one likes to be nagged, so.
Yeah.
But it is true that it's hard to start a new habit, but if you will start pretty easy and make keeping the habit your number one goal, you know?
Yeah. And do it enough, you know, make it a habit. Do it enough that you just feel like your day's not right if you don't do it.
Yeah. And then just, when it's a habit, it's easy because it'll take care of itself, you know? Just like I usually use the example of brushing your teeth, you know? Once you're in the habit, you don't feel right unless you brush your teeth that morning,
right.
So.
I don't want to brush mine before I have my toast and coffee, but I want to do it as soon as I get through with those.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy, 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 you need to come to Georgia.
Yeah. And you, I need to come to Georgia and bring you to California is what I need to do.
Yeah, I need to come spend the winters in California. Lord Jerome. You and I have such a wonderful relationship. We're I love being with you and I love talking to you. But if I came to stay with you, you would be ready to pack my bag within my end of my 2 weeks.
Oh.
My mother will see you next year.
I think we would get along fine. You get along with your mom when she stayed with you, so I think we'd get along fine.
Yeah. And I was glad to have my mother with me.
Absolutely. And now everyone, you know, anyone who shares a house with someone, at some point you're going to need your own space and time, and that would be true for both of us. But, you know, I think we're enough alike, we get along fine.
Yeah, but we'll just keep it the way it is, because this way, Jerome, I don't get on nobody's nerves. And, you know, just talking sometimes too much around somebody when they just want to be quiet would bother you.
Now
I love you, and I love talking to you every day, and I love singing happy birthday to you.
Yeah, you would tell me you would come in from work, and you would be ready for some quiet time, and grandmother would be ready for some talk time.
Oh, Jerome, she had this little notepad. All day long, she wrote down what she wanted to tell. I would walk in the door, put my pocketbook down, and she'd pick that notepad up and start telling me. Well, I didn't care that she told me. I just wanted a little bit of time before it started.
Uh-huh.
But I love her and I miss her. And if she was here right now, I'd let her read. Hey, hold on just a second. I've got that notepad, but I don't know where I put it. I thought I had it in the coffee table drawer, but it's not in there. But I've kept it because, you know, she wrote good, Jerome, just to have a third-grade education. Because, let's see, we didn't learn how to write. We did printing, like, first and second grade. I think I was in the third grade before we started to write. How were you? When did y'all start it?
Start writing? We started with ABCs in kindergarten and first grade. And I think, in kindergarten, recognizing them, and in first grade, writing them. And I guess reading, and I guess a little bit of reading. Because I can remember those. I can still remember the first little books we would read. We talked about Jim and Dot and their dog Tag. And it was Tag, run, run, Tag, run.
Tag can run.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of repeating the words over and over so you would recognize them, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so that was first grade, and then I guess we were, you know, kids' brains are amazing. They just absorb so fast, and by second grade you're reading, you know, little stories, and then before you know it, I remember when we would get, when they first took us to the library at Riverside, and I love the library.
Of course, you've always loved books.
And I guess I was reading above my grade level, but I can remember they had a series of books on famous inventors. And I remember starting to read those pretty young, probably by third grade. I was reading the stories of Thomas Edison.
Eli Whitney.
I remember Edison and Graham and Alexander Graham Bell. Those are the two books I remember reading.
Okay.
Because I remember it was Bell who... Alexander Graham Bell was deaf.
Was he?
I think it was him. And I remember it told the story, and there was also a picture. Someone picked him up by his ears to put him on a train. And that's what they think that's... He always thought that's what made him go deaf.
True. People used to be crazy, didn't they? I mean, who in the shit would pick a child up by his ears?
You know what? I have not verified that since I was 7 years old in the library at Riverside, so I'm looking that up right now to see if it's true.
Okay.
Well, maybe it was Edison. No? Anyway, I'll have to look that up. I'm curious now.
Okay. You tell me on the evening report.
I will.
Okay.
I'll chime. Yeah, you know that's your favorite show. It comes on every night at 9:30.
What?
The Jerome Report.
Oh, I was thinking about a TV program, and I thought, Lord, I don't know. I don't remember watching anything at 9:30. That's
because
I'm on the phone.
Hey, I just pulled it. It was Edison. That happened to Edison. Hang on, let me... when Edison was 12 years old, he contracted scarlet fever. The effects of the fever, as well as getting picked up by the ears by a train conductor, caused him to go completely deaf in his left ear and to lose 80% in the other.
True. People used to be... Well, they're still crazy people today. But it would take a stupid idiot to pick a child up by his ears. You know what? That's very tender. You know, it's not a whole... If I'd have been his parents, that man would have had his ass kicked up to his chest.
Yeah. Now, one... I'm trying to say why this happened. One said he was... The conductor did that to keep him from falling off the train. So maybe if that was the case.
Yeah. Could be.
But why would you grab somebody by the ears instead of, I don't know.
I don't have any idea. You know, if I knew somebody did that to you or Jeff Jerome, I would absolutely try to kill them.
Yeah. And plus, your ears, that's just like the outside of the ears.
Yeah.
The hearing happens on the inside, but that's...
Yeah.
But apparently that's what Edison said. He said that... another story, which Edison himself told, was that he was picked up by the ears to keep from falling out of a train, and this caused something to pop inside his ears.
He damaged the eardrum, didn't he?
I guess. So what are you going to do today? Oh, you said you're going to go walking at the mall and may go see May.
Yep. Those are the only two things that I've got, you know, planned for today. She was sounded a little sad yesterday when I talked to her.
Yeah.
And I know she knows that she's not going to get well from the breast cancer. And I know it has to be depressing, Jerome. I mean, I can't even imagine the sadness that would come with knowing, you know, that you have something that's going to take you out of here. So, yeah, I'm going to go see her today and, you know, see if we can't laugh and have some fun.
Yeah.
Maybe get her mind off of it for a while.
Absolutely, yeah. Just talk about the things y'all did growing up, and then when she was down in Florida, when T was joined the service, and you went and stayed with her, and y'all would ride on the hood of a car.
Yes, and she picked up some cats and threw them over a fence. He told us to go get them, and we didn't, so he went and got them. I will tell her some of this stuff.
Yeah. And that was...
I enjoyed growing up with May and Bill. It was fun.
And you said you never learned to swim until you went down there to Florida to stay with them.
I would have never learned how because I know I've told you this. We had the swimming pool out here, and Bill could go, but me and May couldn't because it was a sin for girls to go swimming in mixed company. That was my mother and dad's thought. And so one summer I went to spend the summer with her. They came, got me, and I went home with them. There was a pool on the bay, and I learned how to swim. May and I had so much fun together. You know, she was still a kid when her and RT got married. Well, she might have been 18, but still, you know, a kid. And we played it, had a good time. Told you about us throwing the cats up on top of the house. T got mad at us. He had to get a ladder and go get them down.
Yeah. Well, y'all can talk about that today, but don't decide to get out there and do it and start throwing the neighbor's cats on the roofs.
No, but I'm going to get it today. I'm going to tell you something. Do you remember getting mad at me in May one time when I came to Florida? He's probably not going to remember. He's going to say, no, what did I get mad at you for? I was like, throwing the cats on top of
mine. Yeah, y'all can talk about the old times, but don't reenact them. Don't get out there and ride on the hood of your car.
And he'd find us a cat to throw on top of the aisle. Yeah, I got to go see her today. I feel bad because I haven't been.
Oh, don't feel bad, but yeah, if you're able to, I'm sure y'all will have a good time.
Oh, yeah, we will. I'll bring that cat tail up. It'll be so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will let you go so you can enjoy your day.
And I will tell you tonight about my visit to May's, okay?
All right. Have fun, Mom, and thank you for my birthday message and my little birthday song. And thank you, most of all, for deciding to get pregnant 54 years ago.
Yeah.
No. It's been a wonderful life, so thank you for giving me this life.
You've made it wonderful for me too, hon. I love you so much.
And
we'll talk tonight.
Yeah, you know, they always make your birthday actually should be Mother's Day. That's who you should be calling up to thank on your birthday. Is, you know, that's when you should think.
She did that to
give you your life. So that's who you should be calling on your birthday should actually be your Mother's Day.
You're wrong. That's true. Did I ever tell you what May told me the first night she had sex, what it felt like?
No.
She said, well, it hurt not. She said, felt like a fly's ass stretched over a telephone pole. It did hurt, but I didn't quite compare it to a fly's ass being stretched over a telephone pole. If you ever tell it wrong, if you tell it, just don't say who it was. Somebody was talking about it one time, but don't give a name.
I've done forgot who you said, so.
Okay, good. I love you. Had fun talking to you.
Same here. Love you too, Mom, and stay warm. And if you go out, and if you do go see May, tell her I love her, and I will talk to you later.
And I love you too. Have a good day.
You too, Mom.
It's your birthday. Do whatever you want to do.
I will. Love you, Mom.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Oh.
This is Bill. I'm unable to come to the phone right now.
Oh, dear Lord.